Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
How you doing, Mark?
Good. So I heard a song on the radio the other day.
Okay.
In fact, I called you right after I heard it because I thought...
Oh, it made you think of me?
Yes. So I heard a song on the radio that said, God will make a way. And it made me, it just brought back memories from...
It gave you flashbacks?
It gave me flashbacks, yeah. It was...
I looked up that song too, and it gave me flashbacks, but my flashbacks were different than your flashbacks.
They were, yeah. I had never heard that song before, but it was just... Anyway, and
I'd heard it too much, so right. There you go.
Flashbacks for different reasons.
That's so. Right.
But it reminded me of something that I both heard my whole life and said many times in my life, that I just believe, or I just have to believe, that God will make a way for me.
Okay.
And
so I'm just going to yawn and say, okay.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. Why is that a problem? That's what I mean.
So, yeah. So.
It's not a problem. God's going to make a way, right?
I mean, well, for me, it was when I heard it my whole life, it was in response to questions that I had. Like, okay, Mom, you were baptized. I don't have the opportunity to be baptized. What? Help me understand this. Like, what? Why not? Why did you have to be and I don't have to be? And the answer I got was, well, I just have to believe that God will make a way for you.
Hmm.
And
well, he did.
Yeah, no, right? He did.
And you were baptized. I mean, that was the first conversation we had. In fact,
yeah,
I when you said that, it just made me like snap me back to the first time I met you, and I think you were going to be baptized the next Sunday.
Okay.
I think I met you before you went there,
yeah.
And it was like, well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just wait and be baptized in church community that you're part of now? And
because I didn't know.
Well, and because you were, I don't know if that's part of God making a way, but He did.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. No, it was it was interesting, but it's something that I would just hear as a kind of a blanket answer to. Really, any question that I feel like people didn't know the answer to, this was the answer that they would give you. I just believe God will make a way for you.
This is about church things.
Yeah,
church. But not about non-church things. Like,
no.
I don't know what I should do when I grow up. God will make a way. Wasn't that?
No. I'm talking specifically about...
About the church.
Yeah, the church. And I think it's important to say that this is... I'm talking about... For salvation. God will make a way for salvation for you.
I guess that's true. If you're talking about baptism and what the church believed about baptism, you would be talking about salvation, right?
Yeah, we're talking... Okay. Yeah, that was really the question. It's not just baptism, but this used to be the way to salvation in this church.
Oh, okay. That does change the equation then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
This is how you got there. I can't get there that way. Now what?
Don't worry, God will make a way.
Don't worry.
Gotcha, okay.
And it was, when you put that twist in there, I just have to believe that God will make a way. It was like, what causes you to believe that? Like, why, I don't know what else to believe is kind of the way I took, I don't know what else to think.
Well, I imagine that is kind of it, isn't it?
I mean,
what else would you say to somebody who, there is no way, Mark, now for you to be saved.
Right.
What are you going to say?
Right.
You can't, there's nothing good to say except that. We just hope against hope that God will figure it out,
right?
More or less.
Yeah.
We can't figure it out. We hope God will figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about the different camps that there were, even on things as important as baptism was at Followers. There were people who thought that that ended with Walter's dream and that we were never going to see it again. And those people would say, like my mom or others would say, I don't worry about baptism. I believe God will make a way for you. And then there were the people that didn't like that because baptism was important and we needed it back and we needed a preacher and all these things. And then I would talk to them about it and say, well, what about your son that's my age that isn't baptized? And then they would say, well, as long as they believe they need to be baptized, I believe God will make a way. And it was just everybody's, we're in disagreement on what we need to get to salvation. But they would all say, I just believe God will make a way. And there was just no rhyme or reason to it for me. I couldn't make any sense out of it.
Hmm. So, well, in other words, it's just kind of a wish, right? It's just a wish.
Yeah.
And I think I think it's important to say that because I think a lot of people, again, whether they're part of where you came from or not, their spirituality or their religion is constituted basically as a wish.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that I go to heaven. I wish that you would go to heaven. I wish that it turned out great. I wish that my suffering would stop. I wish I'd be healed. I wish. And we don't use the word wish.
Right.
But right. I think that's the way that people think about this kind of thing. Like, I don't have a basis for thinking this, but God will make a way.
And,
yeah.
And faith and belief in Jesus is much different than just a wish like that I hope this is true or something like that.
How so, Mark?
Well, because the security of it is in someone else, it's in what Jesus has done. It's in the things that we know to be true from the Bible. It's not in what I hope might happen in the future.
Or it's not something you can't figure out.
Yeah.
Like, oh dear, I don't know how in the world this would happen. It does happen.
Yeah.
And it has happened because Christ has already died on a cross. Your sins have been nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
All the charges against you have been placed there, and now you can be forgiven and accepted by God.
Yeah.
And that is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is the way. And so you don't need to wish that there's some undiscovered way or some way that we can't figure out so that we'll have to look for a new way.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Now I see why that song triggered you differently than it triggered me.
Yes, it did. Well, so that we've talked about that first part of the statement, I believe or I just have to believe, and how it's more of just a blind faith or a wish, something you hope will happen. But the next part of it is that I believe that God will make a way, that God will is a future tense, that he will make a way when the reason, like we just talked about, my trust and faith is in the way that God already has made for me.
Past tense. Mm-hmm.
The way that he has made rather than a new way that I hope he does make or that I believe he will make for me. I don't know how to see it any other way than you're disregarding or saying no thank you to the way that he has made for you. I want to keep doing what I think I need to do here. I'm going to hold to my traditions. I'm going to do what my mom and dad did and hope that God makes another way, a different way for me. And I just think it's important to talk about that if you're looking forward to, or if your faith is in a new way or a different way that God is going to make for you, then you're disregarding the way that he already has made for you. Does that make sense?
Right. And I think it's probably the underlying issue probably is that that was disregarded in the beginning. And so the way that I hope God will make...
I'm sorry, that what was disregarded?
The way that God has already made for you, namely Jesus, was disregarded in the beginning. And the way that was prescribed was something that you were able to do to you know, secure your salvation. You can't do that now, so I hope there's another thing that you can do. And the old thing and the new thing both disregard the finished work of Jesus.
Right.
Is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that future tense part of it is a problem with that statement. And I think part of wanting that new way, too, or that future hope that you have being in a new way is, when I was saying it, I was saying, I want a way that isn't really going to cost me anything, where I'm not going to have to make any changes in my life, where I'm just going to put my confidence in living the life that I've been told that I'm supposed to live, and hope that that new way is, it's almost looked at as like a reward for having really stayed at the Followers of Christ Church. That, because believe me when I say, I have this way that my parents, or that my mom was confident that I would get, that God would make for me, I've forfeited that in her mind by leaving Followers.
Right.
So it's, I don't think she has that same hope for me now.
Well, as you were telling me that, it made me think that you had, how do I say this? That you were hoping that you would find this new way that would cost you nothing. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, you've mentioned here all kinds of objections about how faith in the finished work of Jesus is too easy.
Right.
So on the one hand, you're thinking, oh, it's not going to cost me anything to remain the same.
Yeah.
But if I accept this free gift of grace that's in Christ Jesus, that will actually be harder than keeping what I'm doing and finding this other way where I can keep my life the same as it's always been.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say that, not so much because it goes with everything you're saying today, but all of the times that's come up where the objection has been, it's been too easy. The reality is it's easiest probably just to stay, you know, running the machine that you've been running this whole time. And actually to recognize that God has made a way and you're going to trust that way.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
And you're going to rely completely on a free gift from him. That, though that sounds too easy, it's actually much harder than staying on the same treadmill you've been on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it does cost when you do that, when you come from... When you have lived your life like I did, putting your faith and your confidence in your own works and where you're born and where you go to church, when you turn away from that and turn to Jesus for that free gift, then there is significant cost to that. So, yeah, I would have loved to have been able to avoid that.
Right.
But that's not the way it works. I mean,
Yeah.
So the other part of it that just as I was thinking through this, I didn't think about it till right at the end, but we would make this statement a lot of times, God knows the situation we're in, and I believe he will make a way for us. And it's that for us. Man, I want people to think about that. Like, do you really believe that God's going to make a different, new, special way for a group of 1,500 people in Oregon City, Oregon. The creator of the entire universe has sent his son to make the way for man to be reconciled to God and have peace with God. But because you want to hold on to your traditions and your way of life, he's going to make another way, a different way just for you. And I would say it that way. And subconsciously, yeah, that's what I thought, is for us. We are the one right church. We are the last of God's chosen people. And, you know, like I do almost every week, you're shaking your head.
You amaze
like,
yourself, yeah.
It's amazing how deceived I really was. Like, that is such an arrogant, exalted attitude, and there, it's just nothing to base it on. It's just completely fabricated.
Well, I think that's, you know, I mean, I suppose somebody could be, you know, humble and even brokenhearted and believe that. You know, you maybe were.
I wasn't.
You were, you were maybe arrogant, but so someone believes that in their humble and brokenhearted.
Yeah.
It nonetheless, I think it's very important what you just pointed out, that there is nothing to base it on.
Right.
And see, again, these are the things where I mentioned earlier about wishing.
Yeah.
You know, that if you don't have something to base your faith on, it's wishing.
Right.
If there's somebody you can trust, well, then you trust them. That's not wishing, because it's a trustworthy person.
Right.
You know, if they've given you your word and there's a promise and the person's trustworthy and you believe them, that's not just a wish. You know, that's something that other person has done for you that you're counting on.
Yeah.
And that's different than not really having anything to go on and saying, yeah, for me, there's going to be an exception, or there's going to be a new way, or there's going to be, call it what you want. But I think that it is really important. I'm glad you mentioned it. It's really important to have a reason that you believe that to be true.
Yeah.
Something to base it on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think followers is my only experience with that, but I've talked to other people now, and I think this is probably a common belief for any group that believes they are the one right church, that they're the only ones. If you boil it all the way down, it's going to be this kind of a mentality that's there, is that it's it's tough. And some of it, like you said, you could have a different attitude about it than I did, for sure. It could be coming from a place of thinking that believing God is just that merciful, that he is, that he will just make a way for you, out of his mercy and his love for you, that would be a good thing. But we can't, like I said, he did that. I'm probably going to say that 100 times, and that he did make a way for us out of his mercy and love for us. But to make another way, because you want to hold on to your traditions, you're not looking at the holiness and the fact that God is a just judge too, and he can't just, he has made one way. He can't just let you off or let you in the back door, kind of a thing.
Well, without overstepping.
Yeah.
Oh, without overstepping what the bounds of a podcast might be, right? This podcast might be the way that God is making for you to recognize that he has already made a way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to think, oh, he's making a way. He is making a way. He's pointing you to Jesus, the way he's already made. And, you know, the scripture's very clear that, you know, Jesus died once and for all, and that he is now representing us before God. And so it's not like there's going to be a new way. He's done it once and for all. And hopefully this podcast is pointing you to the way that God has already made, namely Jesus, and your personal trust that all of your sins can be included in his sacrifice so that you might be forgiven and reconciled to God. That would be glorious. And if that's the answer to the, I'm sure God's going to make a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. And I think I remember hearing a joke, and I'll just paraphrase this joke, but I remember hearing this
joke.
Will
it be as funny if you paraphrase it?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just trying to get to the point. It's not really the punchline, okay. But the guy stuck in the tree and the river's flooding the banks, and he's asking God to save him, and somebody comes up in a boat. Hey, jump in. Nope, I'm waiting for God to save me. And he sends a helicopter. Nope, I'm waiting for God. And then he drowns and asks God, where were you? Well, I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. You know, it's we can get this idea of how God is going to save us.
Yeah, that's, I think, really important. And the joke was good, too, by the way. But I think it's really important that you kind of identify. You can get the wrong idea about the way, right?
Yeah, and that really was, when I heard that joke, it made me think a little bit. Like, I was the guy in the tree at the time when I heard that, thinking, how I'm doing this. Like, I have this life that I want to keep, and I want God to save me in a way where I get to keep it. Mm-hmm. And that, man, just get in the boat, get in the helicopter. You know, he's saving you. It's, give up the way that you think it's going to be, and just it is Jesus. I mean, there is not going to be another way. Like you said, it is Jesus. Read about him. It's always about obedience, isn't it? I was listening back. We've been doing this for about a year, by the way.
Okay, that makes me feel old, right?
Yeah, but Easter is going to be coming up here. Good Friday and Easter will be coming up here soon. And I listened back to last year. One of the first episodes we did was the Easter episode. And in that episode, I mentioned my experience with Easter and that I couldn't figure out why the Ten Commandments was on Easter, because that was a Jewish thing, I had made no connections there at all. And then I mentioned that, and then I didn't give any answer for that in the podcast. But I think it ties in with this a little bit, is where I'm going with it. But the Ten Commandments is really talking about the Exodus and the Passover, and you know, the instructions from God that the angel of the Lord is coming through, and the last plague on Egypt, when God was bringing his people out of Egypt, was that the firstborn of everyone was going to die. And you could save, your house would be saved if you took the blood of the lamb and the Passover lamb and put it over the door of your house.
Mm-hmm.
So God made a way for them to be saved, but you had to put the blood over the door. You couldn't say, well, I just have to believe that God's going to make a way for me too, and not put that blood over the door.
Right. There was an objective thing you had to believe about what God had done or was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You had to believe it, and you had to do it. Because if anybody didn't do that and just said, I don't believe that
the angel wouldn't pass over. That's how God's name.
Yeah.
He wouldn't pass over, right.
So, and I think it's the same. I think there's a connection. I think the Passover points us to Jesus. I think that, right? You're looking like, duh. Scott, I did not know that.
I had no idea. Yeah.
And so I think, I mean, if anybody's listening to this and you didn't know that, don't feel bad about it. But go read that in Exodus. And
it's super cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then there's, you know, even in Revelation talks about the Lamb of God who was slain.
Yeah.
And there's this whole theme that just drives through the whole Bible that Jesus is that Lamb who was slain on behalf of the people so that his blood would cover for them. Oh, it's wonderful. Yes. Yeah.
But I think the same rules apply. I think while we don't have the exact instructions of putting that blood over the doorpost, but believe in Jesus, trust in his blood, that is the only thing that is going to cleanse you, that is going to make you righteous. And then you will not face that judgment if you are covered by the blood of Jesus. You can't say, I just think God will make another way, any more than the Egyptians could have said that on the night of the Passover, of the original Passover. So I think there's some obedience. It takes humility. It takes, a lot of prayer, and because it's not easy. That it just isn't, from the circumstances that we were in to where people who are still out followers are in. It's challenging, but it is still the way that God made.
So what is it? What is it that's challenging? Just to make sure that I understood what you just said.
Giving up your everything that you've known to be your security, everything that you have put your faith in before was your community, your traditions, family. People that leave there know that they are going to be risking that. And
I just have to say, you can't say it's hard and say that it's too easy at the same time.
Right.
I mean, that struck me as we've been talking about this today.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you that, it on the one hand, it's easy. On the other hand, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I have a friend who just lost his mother, and she was still part of the followers. He was not, and was not welcome to attend the funeral service. It's a tough thing. I don't know how else to say it. It's hopefully things can change and people can, we talked about those dark lines that people draw, and I just wish that they wouldn't do that.
I hope so.
So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Just, you can see why that song that God will make a way. I think, and we talked about this a little bit, I think that it is true in your day-to-day life, when you put your trust in Jesus, when you believe that he will be there with you through your day-to-day stuff, through those challenging things, that he will make a way for you to get through each day. But if we're talking about salvation, he's not going to make a new way. He made a way. So,
and he can make a way for you to get to the old way.
Yes,
yeah,
he can.
That's what I just want to keep saying is, don't fail to go back to the one way or the old way.
Yeah.
But yeah, trust in Jesus.
Yeah, and we've talked about it in a lot of different ways on here. The first desire I had was, yes, I want to put my trust in Jesus for salvation, but I'd also like to hang on to some of this life that I have too. And it becomes that one foot on the dock, one foot in the boat situation, and you gotta get in the boat.
It didn't last that long.
No, yeah. It didn't last that long. So, well, we would sing a hymn called "I Will Sing the Wondrous Story." And it says, "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way." His way. That's not, you're not going to make a way. He'll draw you into his way. That's great. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come over me, sorrow's paths I often tread, but the Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. And that's kind of that daily,
mm-hmm.
like you're right. not, that's another, I mean, it's a little bit off top, but if you think you're going to be missing out on something, putting your trust in Jesus, he's with you the whole way. By his hand, you're safely led. So it's,
right.
And then he will, this is the security of it, he will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. And just even in that song, as we're singing it, you're putting everything from Jesus coming to showing you the way, to being with you on the hard days, to securing that salvation for you. You're putting everything on him when you're singing that song. And so hopefully when people are singing that song, that's what they'll be thinking about, because I wasn't when I was singing it.
That's a good one to point out, and I'm glad you did. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.